We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my Wild Country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's Football Friday on The Fan.
Walk somebody!
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hara and former All-American Cam Cleland.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make The Fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
Football Friday with Dusty and Cam on 1080.
Take the fight to them.
The Fan.
555-305, better you today, text line. We had this coming. Remember Chris Winkie? He was like a billion when he won the Heisman. Was he 26 or 28? Because he went minor league baseball, then played.
Yeah, Florida State. Yeah.
But I still think, what year did he win the Heisman?
90.
No, it wasn't.
2001?
I may have been around then. That's right around like Josh Heupel, Josh White years, where you sit there and you're like, what year did he win? He won the Heisman Trophy in 2000.
2000.
Right okay. On the dot.
That was a good quarterback year.
Was it?
It was Drew Brees. Yeah, it was Drew Brees. 2000.
Oh, boy.
Tui was in that.
So that would be Chris Winkie beat Drew Brees and LaDainian Tomlinson for the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So, yeah, he was old, but who was the NFL MVP that year? It was probably an older guy, you know, because
that's a tough call. That'd be a fun one. That's got to be Marshall Faulk or Kurt Warner.
That would be Marshall.
Marshall Faulk. Faulk, yeah.
Marshall Faulk.
Should always know that one.
You should? Oh, yeah, he was your teammate.
Well, no, it's just heyday. It was the greatest show on Turf Time. It was heyday.
Yeah, but how old was Marshall Faulk then?
At the time, Marshall Faulk, well, he was drafted in 94, so he would have been,
6 years in.
29-ish.
Huh. Yeah, right around there. Yeah. So they were almost same age.
28, yep.
Wow. Crazy. All right, we didn't get to it in Off the Rails, but I saw this number was floated out there, and I thought it was absurd. Do you know how much Vanna White gets paid on Wheel of Fortune?
I saw this.
I was trying to come up with a way to work that into Would You Rather. Didn't come up with it, but it is wild.
Every penny.
She was hosting Wheel of Fortune the other night, and I was actually helping a buddy move stuff back into his house because he was remodeling, and it was on the TV, and I was like, where's Pat Sajak? What's Vanna doing up there? What's this ridiculousness?
She's great.
She was great, though. It grew on me.
Yeah, she's pleasant. She's wonderful. She's attractive. She's gorgeous. She's everything. She's everything about Wheel of Fortune.
For 37 years, man.
But you didn't say how much money she makes.
She makes $4 million a year.
Yeah.
And
they tape 4 days a month.
Well, that was going to be the thing.
Yeah.
They only tape the show 4 days a month, which means she works 48 days a year. That is
how many shows do you think they tape in a day?
Six. But they do working 48 days a year. She makes $83,333 every day that she works.
Good for her. That's fantastic. Deserves every penny.
Oh, my God. She pushes the button and just is a hot. She says that they start taping at noon. They tape six shows, which take a little over or a little under an hour to tape each one.
Vanna White, 63?
Oh, I don't know, 62? But whatever she is, she looks fantastic for being that age.
Yeah.
She looks great. What a life. How much do you think Sajak makes?
All right, he's probably right there. Same thing.
62.
62?
Well, how much does Pat Sajak make? She's 62 years old.
Yeah.
Wow. She looks fantastic for 62. Buck, we'll find that out at some point. But right now, it's time for our weekend. Would you rather?
Not before I tell you that Pat Sajak is worth $65 million.
He's worth that much.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, there we go.
Salary, $15 million.
Dear God.
A little bit more.
Well, I mean, he runs the show, though.
Well, he's the man.
She pushes the button. Be the button pusher.
It is. I mean, it's Wheel of Fortune.
Oof. This, of course, legendary. According to reputable source, celebritynetwork.com.
Yeah.
How many ballroom gowns do you think Vanna Vanna White has.
Probably, it's just part of the...
I know, it's wardrobe.
Wardrobe.
Your five categories for this week's weekend, Would You Rather.
Marshall Faulk was 27 in 2000 as well. Yeah, 27.
Silent but Deadly. Unintended Weight Loss. Christmas in a Can. Florida Man. And a sports bonus for you. Where do we want to start?
You can go ahead.
SPD, bud.
Silent but Deadly.
If you have boys, you know this all too well.
Okay, so this is an interesting one. This is from a man, Joe Ramirawama. No, let's see. Let's try it again.
Right.
Well, it's R-W-A-M-I-R-A-M-A. So I think I got it pretty close. Ramirawama. That's his name.
Okay.
He's from Uganda, but he claims that his farts can kill mosquitoes up to 6 meters away.
What?
Yeah.
Right. Does this man eat?
I don't know.
He's from Uganda?
Uh-huh, from Kampala, Uganda.
What the heck does he eat?
Wamarama. Going with that.
Let's bottle it.
So that's what I'm thinking. It's, you know, it could be like an insect repellent of sorts. It leads me to...
Well, you said repel. He's killing them.
Joe, fart!
The ultimate repellent.
Yeah.
Death from above. But the question here for you is, would you rather have insect-killing farts that clear your friends and family out of every room you're in, or have your farts be completely undetectable but sustain a new bug bite once a week?
Wait, say that again?
A bug bite.
So basically, you can have the power to kill all insects with your farts, but every time you cut one loose, you're clearing out a room. Yeah. Or you can have your farts be completely undetectable and fart whenever you want, but you're getting one bug bite a week.
Yeah. Oh, a week now? I thought it was... Okay.
Bug bite.
You know, it'd be nice. Yeah.
It's not that bad. You hit it with a little calamine lotion or whatever.
You need a lot of friends if you just gas it up.
I mean, if you like solitude, but are mosquitoes and bugs attracted to you? Like, do they bite you a lot? Do you get bitten a lot?
Yeah. I don't know. Not really, I guess.
Yeah, because I don't.
You hear the old sweet blood thing?
I don't, but my wife does. She gets bit way more than I do.
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe it's a pheromone thing.
Yeah. Maybe my farts kill them.
Maybe
you just suck.
Maybe me and Joe.
Yeah, you could have bug repellent farts and don't even know it.
Maybe I suck. What? I will go with unintended weight loss, sir.
This is one of the more disturbing odd news stories I've pulled recently. This comes to us from northeastern Thailand, where a man pulled a 32-foot tapeworm from himself when he took a trip to the toilet. So
our intestines were that long.
My God.
32 feet?
32 feet.
Good.
He pulled it from himself?
All right.
Yep.
I'm going to need continuing information.
What end?
Well,
where else do you think?
Yeah, well, he basically...
It's 32 feet long. It could come out of either end at that point.
He thought he wasn't done on the can.
It's only coming out of one end.
No, could come out the top. Could come out of your mouth.
What?
What if you're like...
No, you start pulling it out like a magician.
It's a 32-foot tapeworm. We didn't think that thing existed.
He's living in your intestines.
The more disturbing part, which fortunately for you, you don't have to see, there are photos posted of this thing wrapped around his hand.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to need to see that. I'm interested in that.
I'm happy to send it to you, big man. The question here, though, is would you rather...
Why was it around his hand?
He needed to document it, show it.
Document it, show this is what happened.
I mean, there's also a photo of it just in a pile on, like, a scale or something.
Oh, my God.
There's two photos of it.
Are you just sitting there just like...
It's cringy.
It's like when the magician's, like, pulling the handkerchief out of the sleeve and it just keeps going.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Except a tapeworm out of your butt.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is what happens.
That's it.
Question here is, would you rather pass a 32-foot tapeworm one time, but always remain in shape and eat whatever you want for the rest of your life without consequence, or avoid the tapeworm altogether, but give up your favorite foods to maintain a healthy figure?
Oh, give me the tapeworm.
I'll take the tapeworm.
Take the tapeworm once.
Yeah, I mean, it's just simple. It's like pulling a ribbon. Just a little ribbon.
Yeah, so you guys have no problem removing the 32-foot tapeworm one time?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, it's a one-time deal.
It's a one-time deal.
Yeah.
What's the worry? You know, I've never heard of any people dying from a tapeworm.
Super gross. They do.
Oh, I'm sure they do, but it doesn't mean that you didn't say anything about dying. Just said I just got to pass.
That's where we're at.
Pass a tapeworm.
That's right. You're going to pull it out eventually.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
By the way, how do you get a tapeworm? You got to eat bad food?
Yeah.
Like rotten food?
You ingest it, like bacteria.
I know you ingest it.
I don't know.
Where they grow. For me. information.
Yeah.
32 feet.
Sending you an email.
Wonderful. I'm wondering. Never mind. I don't want to. Like, yeah. How did he have normal bowel movements?
Oh.
I don't know. Like, it just said that
prior to that?
Said that he went to the bathroom and he's like, I felt like I wasn't quite done and just pulled and kept pulling.
Pulled? That's the other thing. Who sits there and is like, I'm not done pooping. I got to pull this out.
Well,
nobody.
He couldn't force it out because there's 32 feet of it up there.
All right.
Things are dangling.
What is the girth?
Not very.
Not very.
Okay,
much.
They're very small.
Like, it looks like a 32-foot-long earthworm.
Okay, Christmas.
Christmas in a can.
Yeah.
Okay, this comes to us from a tech company called Game, and basically they cater to gamers, and because so many gamers will choose to spend Christmas Day playing video games, they have come up with Christmas dinner in a can. The cost about about $2.50. Costs 2.64 pounds. And they have all different varieties of it. They have one that includes meat, they have one that's vegetarian, and they have one that is vegan. But the meat one includes, let's see here.
That's a big can. 2.64 pounds.
Well, that's the thing is it's not. It's like a 12-ounce can, and it's got these like little bits of every kind of either Christmas or Thanksgiving dinner that you could imagine. So I've got the vegan one up right here. It starts with a layer of chocolate cake and custard, then vegan gravy, then mushroom Wellington, then pigs in an aubergine blanket, then tofu and stuffing, as well as winter vegetables, including squash, carrots, sprouts, and broccoli, red cabbage, parsnips, vegan cheese, olives, grapes, and vegan bacon. That's all in one can to be ingested at once.
How big is this can? 12 ounces?
So it's just not a lot of all of that stuff.
Vegetarian one has nut roast, cauliflower cheese,
Wasn't the vegetarian option?
That
there was like vegan bacon.
Vegan.
Oh, okay.
The vegetarian option includes gingerbread pancakes, Toblerone, and potatoes, as well as halloumi cheese, all in the same can.
Huh.
Hmm.
Question here is, would you rather eat vegan Christmas dinner in a tin, or Christmas tinner, as they call it? Or would you rather just go to sleep on the 24th and wake up on the 26th?
I'd rather wake up on the 26th.
I'll eat the can. I mean,
I don't want to, but I think I'll eat the can too. I don't want to miss
Christmas. I'm just curious, because I want to roll that thing. Does it come out in a nice gelatin can like it does?
The photos of this, it's layered.
Is it easy to roll out, or do you got to spoon it out? Does it kind of just slide out like a good cranberry can does?
I don't know.
Or does it just, you got to spoon that thing from the top? Because if you start from the top, dessert was at the top.
I think.
Why isn't dessert at the bottom?
The idea is you do slide the whole thing out, and then you kind of pick whatever layers you want.
Because you tip it over.
I'm not opposed to the vegan try.
First court is that?
No, I'm opposed to that.
You asked where tapeworms come from. I'm assuming it's that can.
It could be. Let's see. What else do we have left? We have
Florida man.
We do have Florida man. So I don't know if you caught this story this week, but there's a Florida man found dead, partially eaten by an alligator.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, well, the thing was, they thought that he was killed by the alligator. Turns out, no, he was killed by the meth overdose and then eaten partially by the alligator post-overdose.
Oh, that makes sense.
The question here is, would you rather die via meth overdose, or would you rather die via alligator eating?
Give me the gator. I want to know I'm going out with a fight.
All right.
Give me the gator. I'm going down. The gator, so he's going to take me down. He's going to do me the log roll, and he's going to get down there. And do that. At least it softens up. At least it's natural selection. You know, at some point in time, I'm okay with that. All right.
I mean, natural selections are people that do meth too, but.
Well, that too. I mean, it depends on if you're in that point. If you do that. But no, if I'm going down, I'm fighting after. It better be a big croc or an alligator.
Yeah, I'll go meth, I guess. I don't know, man.
They're both going to be horrifying.
Horrifying.
Yeah. I've seen the barrel roll of the alligator and.
Take you down.
Maybe it'll be quicker.
You know, gators take you down and they stuff you down in the bottom of the water
to soften you up so
they can easier to chew you up later.
So they can fit you into Christmas dinner in a can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Last one for you is a sports bonus.
Sports bonus.
I'm going to call this one Duck, Duck, Duck. Considering that Oregon could have a top 10 pick in each of the next three NFL drafts, who would you rather have stock in? Justin Herbert, Penei Sewell, or Kayvon Thibodeau to cash in 10 years from now?
Penei Sewell.
Good one.
He is the wait, cash in on? You mean so like basically their you're just earnings? Predicting
who do you no. Who do you want like I suppose like figurative stock in?
Okay, Penei Sewell.
Who do you think will have the highest cachet 10 years from now?
Penei Sewell.
Herbert, man. Sewell, Thibodeau.
That's tough. I mean, pass rushers are important. Quarterbacks are the most important. Left tackles I got to go with Penei. I do. I mean, I think it's not an easy choice, but certainly as he is, feels like the most locked down solid of the three.
Yeah. When you hear like offensive linemen, Hall of Fame offensive linemen gushing over him and he's 19, I'm going to go Sewell. All right. That was a good one, Buck. A little disgusting at the beginning, brought it home nicely. All right, coming up next, football Q&A. If you got football questions, we got football answers. Send them to us. 55305, the better you today text line. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. Football Q&A every Friday. This is a good one coming in. Which NFL team with a shot at the playoffs has surprised you the most? Go.
Titans.
Niners for me.
Surprised you the most?
Yeah.
What, from the start of the season?
No, I'm just the most, like, you go, this is so surprising. It's the Niners. Niners, what, 4 wins last year? They won 4 games?
No, I think they got a couple more at the end. I think they finished 5-11 or 6-10. 5-11 at least.
Okay. But they look like one of the most dominant teams in the NFL. It's either San Francisco or Baltimore. But Baltimore is at least a playoff team.
You know, realistically,
last year.
I think I'm super surprised with the Packers and how well they've done. And not just the chance, but the fact that you have a head coach flip like that and then suddenly have a connection where, I know, it's Aaron Rodgers, but you still got to have a cast of guys to be able to win games.
It's taking time.
And
but
as well
there.
As Chicago was going into that season, as good as their defense. And it's a tough division. Minnesota's good. That's not a walkthrough division.
Yeah.
So I think Green Bay certainly surprised me the most.
Yeah. You look at it there. I mean, there's a lot of really good stories around the NFL that are surprising. Because it's that league where it's not the usual cast of characters every single week, every single year. Nobody's good in the NFC East, which isn't a surprise. But, you know, you look at the NFC West, that division is loaded. And then the AFC North, Baltimore's so impressive. So impressive.
Yeah, they are.
And what a great farewell present Ozzie Newsome gave that franchise, you know? That is an incredible, incredible farewell because he tore it apart, built it back up, and said, I'm out. In your guys' opinion, who had the best NFL career out of all the Heisman winners? That's a really tough question. Kind of loaded.
Yeah, I'd have to look through all of that.
Barry Sanders is a good one.
Yeah, well, he's always been my number one when it comes to that.
Numero uno.
But there's been some good play. There's been some really good play out of some Heisman winners. Nobody that's lit it on fire, but there's probably more guys that haven't lived up to what it is to be the best college football player than actually had success. I mean, that's the thing is once you become one of the best in the world, I mean, where are we trying to? Are we talking Hall of Fame? Do you have to become the Hall of Famer?
Well,
it'll be considered a good career.
Make up your own criteria for that. I mean, he's really, just asking, in your opinion, who is the best?
Well, it's Barry
Heisman.
Sanders. I think it's Barry.
Yeah, I mean, Barry Sanders is. Can't really go wrong there.
Danny Werfel.
Wow.
Play with Danny. I like Danny a lot.
I mean, he can be a good guy. I mean, nobody's saying he's a terrible human, but oh boy. Actually, doesn't he do stuff like, isn't he a big community guy down there?
Oh, very much so.
In New Orleans or whatever, where they kind of hated him for a while because they were like, he's not any good.
No.
And he's now just like, he owns like a school or something. What the hell does he do? He does something cool down there.
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head.
All right, I got a couple other ones for you though that could be on that list of guys that had incredible NFL careers.
Charles Woodson.
Mm-hmm. You have Bo Jackson, Herschel Walker, Tim Brown, O.J. Simpson,
Tony
Dorsett, Earl Campbell.
Yeah,
I mean back in the day, Jim Plunkett won a couple Super Bowls. Roger Staubach, he had a good NFL career.
I guess maybe we go specific. Was the best quarterback Heisman winner to have a great NFL career?
Gino Toretta.
All right.
I don't know. But is it Staubach?
It might be.
You have Staubach, Plunkett.
Andrew Luck?
Didn't win it.
I know.
Vinny Testaverde.
Right.
Andre Ware, Ty Detmer, Gino Toretta, Charlie Ward played basketball.
Yeah.
Danny Werfel, Winky, Eric Crouch was a great CFL player.
Steve Spurrier.
It's not bad.
Carson Palmer, Jason White, Matt Leinart, Troy Smith. Gosh, these are some bad NFL quarterbacks.
Carson Palmer's not that.
No, I know, but you go Winky, Crouch, White, Leinart, Troy Smith, Tim Tebow. All those guys were in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, they've actually got it back on. No, didn't really get it back on the rails because you have Cam.
Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota.
Yeah. Manziel. RG3.
Baker Mayfield. RG3.
RG3 was good until his knee got.
He was a rookie of the year.
Torched. Wow. Yeah. I don't know who is the best quarterback. Staubach. I'll go with that. Final answer.
Okay.
Final answer. Tebow. all right, 55305. We got more, including bowl games that may be worth it to go to. Football Q&A. Get them to us. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. All right, football Q&A. The 8 o'clock hour usually turns into this where you guys like to piggyback off each other's questions, which is kind of fun. I like it. It says, which would you rather have, a Heisman and a below-average NFL career, or be completely unknown in college and have a great NFL career? So would you rather be Tim Tebow or Tom Brady?
Well, when you put it like that.
Well, that's not fair.
Well, unknown in college, and then now a great NFL career. Tim Tebow won the Heisman.
Yeah.
And was considered one of the best college football players, like, ever when he was in college.
I'm a college junkie, so I definitely would take the Heisman.
Thing is, I think that if you...
Green jacket, gold jacket, yeah. Who gives
if a... If what your most important priority is just having the most success at football, then I think that you'd want to be the really great NFL player. Mm-hmm. But I also think there'd be something super special about being the guy who won the Heisman for your school and going back there and celebrating that with those people there. And
you're a legend forever.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's the thing is what is an average...
Big man on campus forever.
Yeah, I could always go be an NFL player. I could get a Super Bowl ring. I could help my team. But you're in a club that's, if I not consider it, the most exclusive college football club ever. In fact, you get still a couple nice little stipends for the rest of your life.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
You get to be in Dr. Pepper's commercials, and you get paid for life.
Oh, that Heisman House commercial is hilarious with Bo Jackson and Kyler Murray, who sneak out in the middle of the night.
Baseball.
And Kyler comes back and gets ridiculed for it. They do a good job with those Heisman House commercials.
Yeah, they're good.
Nissan. Okay. 55305. More questions coming in. Better you today. Text on. With the OC change at Oregon, do you think Cristobal's type of offense could evolve like LSU or Alabama the last few years, mainly in passing schemes and routes? P1 Zach and Eugene with that question. Absolutely.
Everyone pauses.
Well, I mean, it was the question.
I don't think so. I think Coach Cristobal likes it's 11-2. I think that he likes the identity of building around big offensive linemen, running the football, and playing great play action. By the way, that works really well for San Francisco and Baltimore and other good college players. Stop asking for this elite LSU stuff with Joe Brady throwing it all over the yard. If it works in your – first of all, if you can find ways to win your conference first, everything else will handle itself. I can't tell you we're matching up against other teams. Stop trying to be somebody else. Okay. That's what the thing is. And that's what I love about Coach Cristobal. He's not going to let anybody tell him what they're supposed to do. This is what I do, and it works. I build around my philosophy. I just don't think he's not going to – why suddenly is he just going to be a guy – what is he going to think? He's going to bring in the air raid?
No. It's saying, though, that tweak it like Alabama has under Nick Saban, who was vehemently against the spread and then tweaked his offense to the point where he was like, all right, I have the talent. I've built this juggernaut. Now I'm going to tweak it a little bit. It hasn't been – like. Alabama isn't a spread offense.
No, not at all.
But they have that ability to run concepts. Now.
They also, too, have to have the right guy.
Exactly.
Quarterback has to be about the right guy. I can want to run spread, but if I run a 5-3, I'm not going to run the spread.
Tyler Shuck is pretty athletic, though, too. Yeah, you have athletic quarterbacks. Yeah, I think we'll see a little bit of a change of variation of it. But look, it will be interesting. This will be an interesting hire for Oregon to see what – if this was a Marcus Arroyo's identity, or if this is what Mario Cristobal's identity and stamp on the Oregon program will be. Because the goal will be to have this next coordinator there for more than 2 years, right? And you've established a dominant front. Mm-hmm. And that's going to change too. And also, we have to think of this move as, it's not just replacing your coordinator, you're replacing your quarterback, you're replacing four offensive linemen too.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to tailor that hire to the talent that you have? And what does that next wave of offensive linemen look like for Oregon? Because you're losing some pretty special players up front for the Ducks. Yep.
I'm fascinated by the process, though, because, I mean, like, since we've seen Mario Cristobal take over, he's been really intentional about the kind of personnel that he recruits and the kind of players that he wants, and it is that smash-mouth power style. So I wonder, when the candidates then pop up for offensive coordinator, does he go out looking specifically for guys that want to do that run power, or does he say, who are the best six guys available? I'll run whatever they want or whatever they're best at. How much are you personnel matching? How much are you asking a guy to fit your scheme versus Taylor's scheme to fit you?
You have to, and you have to be really diligent on who you have in your recruits and who you have in your system currently. That's the thing is does Joe Burrow work anywhere else in the country? Suddenly he worked with LSU and what Joe Brady and that crew put together with Ed O. But you have to find, talent and electric ability at the quarterback position is what everybody's looking for. Can you replace that? You're going to get a shot. But you're not just going to bring in an offensive coordinator that says, we're doing it this way. You're going to have to manufacture. Things are going to have to be, you're going to have to coach to your talent. That's what you have to. So good coaches are always able to do.
You know, the most important trait of an offensive or defensive coordinator is tailoring your system to your talent. Mm-hmm. It is the most important trait that you have, because you can have ideals and you can have your system that you have, but you must be able to tailor it and tweak it to the talent that you have there. And that's going to be a tough hire for Mario Cristobal. How about PU and Dustin's question? With your experience, Cam, in the NFL, teams that are out of the playoffs, is it more common for them to give up or get up for games and try to knock off other potential playoff teams who are playing for seeding?
Well, players aren't going to give up. So let's start with that. Players aren't going to do anything. They're fighting for their jobs. But what teams do typically, once you're eliminated from the playoffs, here's the typical procedure of what all NFL teams do. What they do is they cut and they remove veterans that are either problems or guys they thought they would make the playoffs. And they start playing their younger players. They elevate practice squad guys. They're going to get guys coming off of IR, and they'll change and adjust. Veterans that are locked down solid, they're going to give them more rest. They're going to keep their quarterbacks in. But you're going to see more guys on film, because once you get them on film, you can justify whether you want to trade them, move them, or cut them in the offseason, and who you will invite back for spring when you can bump your roster back up to 90. So this is a valuation process. In fact, you're going to see teams start looking at and grading other teams that are out of the playoffs more often, because they're going to try to pick and whether they can add them back to the roster. So the rosters start to get really different, but teams are now you're setting up for the future again in next year. You've already canceled out. You've checked out.
You know what? It is like everything that you were just saying there. I mean, you said something that literally like pops. It's like, there's no way players quit.
No, and players don't quit at all.
But wasn't it surprising to see that kind of like, it looked like a lack of effort by the Dallas Cowboys players last week?
Well, they're
like in a playoff hunt, and they just look like they're like, meh.
They're not quit. The energy's out of them. See, they're still going to compete. Naturally, you're going to go out, you're going to compete. But the belief is, and everybody knows it, and everybody sees it, is that this whole thing is falling apart. And so everybody's in it for themselves. And when you're in it for yourself and you don't care about what's going on around you, all you're going to do is focus on, oh, I'm in this play, I'm in that play. The fight is gone.
God.
Now you care.
You saw that.
I've seen it. Been on it. Everyone starts pointing finger. It's not even that it's arguing anymore. There's just apathy set in.
That looked like their defense tackling for sure. My gosh, they were terrible. All right, 55305, more football Q&As, and we get you set for the weekend in football, one of the greatest traditions in sports. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. All right, we are here. We are made it to the weekend, my man. 12 days until Christmas. It is Friday the 13th. Woo! Watch out. And it is a sad weekend for us. We have our last regular season college football game tomorrow.
Yeah.
Army.
Yeah.
Navy. Uniforms. Army gets the win, which means they'll probably lose by 50 because that's usually how it goes. Team with better uniforms wins.
All right. I got a question I want to answer.
Yeah, go.
It's a good one. This says, better you today. We've been hearing about how much talent the Cowboys have, and they have done squat. Maybe they're not that good. I've always believed this, and I think that sometimes when you smell your own brand for a long time, you kind of get stuck in that's the only scent that works. So I can only explain it is that every Cowboy, it feels like since 1992, has been a Cowboy. From every offensive guy to every coach, and every Cowboy just stands. It's like, I'm going to hire a Cowboy guy. From your son runs it, your daughter runs it, your former Cowboy is the head coach, former Cowboy is the quarterback's coach, former Cowboy is the offensive coordinator. There's Cowboy defensive backs. This is Cowboy. They're all over the place. I always say is that no matter how many times family businesses can work, if you understand that you need outside view, you need an outside point of view. The best hiring people, best businesses, find people that are better than them, always. You know, I know Nick Saban gets a lot of crap, but how many coaches does he constantly elevate? Is it because he's hard to work with, or is it because he lets guys be who they are, pushes them, and then they go on to success afterwards? Cowboys are bad because Jerry Jones won't stop smelling his own damn brand. You want to sit in the fog all the time and tell you how good you are? They are talented. They are freakishly talented. They just need to get out of their own damn way.
Well, there's also an element of everybody kisses the ass of a Dallas Cowboy player, and all of a sudden they're better than they are. They're perceived to be better than what they really are. I mean, how many quarterbacks until Romo took over was going to be, oh, he's going to be the guy.
Yeah.
He's going to be the guy. And then everybody gets propped up, and you're like, really? Not that good. How much of an element is that going on right now with this team that's in front of you?
Yeah, I can't stand someone that you get so insecure, you're not willing to listen to other ideas or willing to reach outside and invest in things that are outside. There's so many good people that you can try. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But if you're constantly just putting the same people in there and you're going, that's my brother, it's my sister, that's this, then I get having family in. But at some point in time, you got to stare in the mirror and go, man, we need to make a change. It's not going to happen. I mean, Jerry Jones is never going to. He's never changed. He's a successful businessman, but he's not a successful leader when it comes to coaching, because he is the coach. He's the coach and the general manager and the owner. He's all three. We all know it.
And he does a bad job at it.
Well, he doesn't do a bad job. He just doesn't do the type of job that gets you to win Super Bowls. And that's really all that matters when you're the America's team.
Well, it's because that's all he tells us they're going to do. Yeah. You know? I don't know. Pew and Adam, would you rather go to the Army-Navy game or a Super Bowl? I'd rather go to the Army-Navy game, to be honest. Super Bowl, I've heard from everybody that's gone, and Bucks here, you've been to one, right?
Yeah.
I've heard that's just like a corporate kind of sanitized game, and I've heard the Army-Navy game has pageantry.
Yeah.
It has electricity. You look around, you're just like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Super Bowls are great. They're pretty awesome, especially if it was your team. Mm-hmm. I bet if it was your team,
yeah,
you'd probably say, but yeah, I don't know enough about the Army. It does look like there's a lot of pageantry to it, but I'm more of the football junkie. Like, I actually want to nerd out on the football side. I don't need the pageantry. That's why
I love college football.
Yeah. Well, I mean, great. If it has to connect, there's got to be a connection. Army Navy games has got to be amazing. I would certainly, but I think I'd still probably rather go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Buck, we were just talking Army Navy game versus Super Bowl.
I think it depends on maybe the Super Bowl matchup because.
Yeah,
I went to an awesome Super Bowl. I mean, Cam and I went to the same one, the one that finished on the 1 yard line between the Titans and Rams. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like apples and oranges because there's just a different meaning and pageantry behind the Army Navy thing. It's not really about who wins that game as much as it is about the tradition between those two schools and the pomp and circumstance that goes along with it. So having seen a Super Bowl, if my team was in the Super Bowl, I'd want to go to another Super Bowl. If it's two teams that I don't care that much about, it's mostly a corporate event, I might take Army-Navy.
Can I tell you this right now, Buck? If it's Ravens 49ers in the Super Bowl, those tickets are going to go for $10,000 a piece.
It's going to be insane.
Yeah.
It's going to be bonkers.
Don't they almost always go for that much, though?
Not always. You know, there are years when you can have a down year, you can adjust and how it goes, but I'm telling you, If this target is going, because I think that's the matchup I personally want to see
in Miami.
Ooh.
Which means both teams will probably lose in like the divisional round.
No, they're ruining everybody's hopes.
Is that what you want to say?
I'm just saying that's what I want to
see.
I didn't know what you want to see. You're a Patriot guy. Why wouldn't you want the Patriots back
in? No, last year.
But we've already won six.
Last year it was everybody wanted Chiefs and Rams in that rematch again. Like that was like everybody was like, I want to see that game again in the Super Bowl. And then it was just like we lost it. And granted, that was a conference championship game, but we almost had neither of those teams in the Super Bowl if the Saints could have finished them off.
That's a great point.
With a offensive pass interference.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, good questions today.
Good questions every day.
Yeah. But we've had, Army Navy is really fun, but all that pageantry takes so long. You see it all in 5 minutes on TV. It's hours long live. But I think doing it once, it would be worth
sure.
it. Sure. You know?
It's like Mardi Gras. You know, you go Mardi Gras, you do it once.
Without the boobs.
Well.
I mean, maybe.
I can't speak for that.
Yeah, I haven't gone to Army
tell
Navy.
Me that, I'm assuming that, that there's no excitement going on. Well, probably not. Probably don't want to do that.
I mean, no.
It's Annapolis. You don't want to do that.
Wait, don't aren't they, play, don't they playing?
Oh, they're
in
playing
Philly?
At the Philly. Yeah, sorry, they're Philly, playing
but
in Philly.
they go in between the Meadowlands and Philly, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
Or I don't know where they're playing it this year. All right, that'll do it for us this week.
Plus, Navy's really good this year. The only two losses are to Memphis and Notre Dame. They're good.
Well, last year Army was really good. Army won like 9 games last year, didn't they?
Army was supposed to be good this year and weren't as good as people thought they'd be.
If you missed our interview with Joel Klatt, go check it out. Les Schwab Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com. Had some good stuff on college football playoff expansion, when that's going to happen, Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow, and what he does in his downtime, which it's not going to shock you. Mm. It's football. Coming up this weekend on The Fan... 8:30 a.m. tomorrow morning, coverage starts. There's a top 10 matchup in college hoops, and it'll be between the 10th ranked Ducks and number 4? Are they 4th now?
5.
5. The 5th ranked Michigan Wolverines.
Ooh, boy.
Live from Ann Arbor, Michigan with Joey Mack on the call. So that coverage starts at 8:30 right here on the Fan.
Michigan was going to be that good that quick.
Juwan Howard, dude.
Jeez, man.
Juwan, man.
Fab 5, bringing it back.
Then Sunday, 8 a.m., coverage starts. Seahawks in Carolina for the Panthers. Over on our sister station, ESPN Portland, 9:10 a.m. tonight, you've got, Pilots? Geoducks? Is that, or Gooey Ducks?
Gooey Ducks.
The Gooey Ducks of Evergreen State taking on the Portland Pilots. And then tomorrow or on Sunday morning, you've got Texans at Titans at night, starting at 9 a.m. with the Vikings at the Chargers at 1 o'clock following that. Keep it right here on 1080 The Fan. I'm next to Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, during break, 3 to 7, prime time with us again. Sook! Have a great Friday. See you Monday right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.